Osho, Bigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 2. The Book of the Secrets, a new commentary. Discourse number 13, given in Bombay, India.
On this point, Buddhas and Christ and Krishnas all agree. And because they all agree, it seems to me that this is the basic thing in all religious endeavors. All else is accidental. This is essential. That you are debarred because of your own ego. What is this ego? Of what it consists? How it arises? And why it becomes so important? Look at your mind. Because you cannot understand the phenomena of ego theoretically. You can understand it only existentially. Look at your mind. Observe it. And you will come to a deep understanding. And if you can understand what the ego is, there is no problem. It can be dropped easily. Rather, there is no need to drop it. If you can understand it, the very understanding becomes a problem. Because the ego is created through your non-understanding. It is created through your sleepiness. If you become alert about it, if you focus your consciousness towards it, it disappears. It disappears just as if you bring light in the room, the darkness disappears. Even if you bring light to look at darkness, but what darkness is, if you bring light, it disappears. The ego exists because you have never been alert to your existence. It is a shadow of your non-alertness. So really there is no need to drop it. If you can look at it, it drops by itself. But what it is? Have you ever felt any moment when there is no ego? Whenever you are silent, the ego is not. Whenever your mind is in turmoil, chattering, restless, the ego is there. Whenever you are relaxed, silent and calm, the ego is not. Just now, if you are silent, where is the ego? You will be there. but no feeling of I. So try to understand it existentially. Right now, as I am speaking, you can observe the fact that if you are silent, totally alert, you are there, but with no feeling of I. And just the contrary happens if you are troubled, in conflict, in anxiety. You feel a centered egoism. When you are in anger, in passion, violent, aggressive, you feel a crystallized egoism. Whenever you are in love, in compassion, it is not there. That's why we cannot love. Because with the ego, love is impossible. That's why we go on talking so much about love, but we never are in love. And whatsoever we call love is more or less sex. It is not love. Because you cannot lose your ego, and love cannot exist unless the ego has disappeared. A love, meditation, God, they all require one thing, not be there. That's why Jesus is right in saying that God is love. Because both phenomena happen only when the ego is not. If you know love, there is no need to know God. You have known him already. Love is just another name for it. If you know love, there is no need to go into meditation. You have gone already. Love is just another name for it. So many techniques of meditation are needed. And so many teachers and so many schools of meditation are needed because there is no love. If love exists, there is no need to practice anything because the thing has happened already. And the thing is the disappearance of the ego. So the first thing to be understood, whenever you are silent, the ego is not. And don't believe in me. I'm not talking about a theory. This is a fact. You need not take my opinion. You can observe it in yourself. And there is no need to postpone it for future. Right now, you can observe the fact. If you are silent, you are. But with no limitation, with no center, you exist without the center. There is no crystallized I. The presence is there. The concept. But there is no one who can say, I am. So when you are silent, the ego is not. And when you are not silent, the ego is. So ego is the disease. All diseases combine together. Hence the emphasis that surrender the ego. The emphasis is to surrender the disease. Secondly, if in silence, even for a single moment, you have the glimpse of your existence as egoless, then you can analyze and then you can enter the phenomena of ego, what it is. The mind is accumulated past. the mind is never here. It is never now. It is always from the past. It is accumulation. Mind is memory. All the experiences that you have gone through, all the information that you have come across, all the knowledge that you have gathered, heard and listened and read, that is accumulated. The mind is constantly accumulated. The mind is the greatest accumulator. It goes on accumulating. Even while you are not conscious, it goes on accumulating. Even while you are asleep, the mind is accumulating. You may not be aware. While you are asleep and the noise on the road, the mind is accumulating. You can be hypnotized in the morning, and you can be asked, and you will say everything, you will relate everything, whatsoever the mind has accumulated in the night. Even if you have fallen in a coma, you are unconscious. You have fallen in a fit. The mind is accumulating. The mind doesn't need your consciousness to accumulate. It goes on accumulating. Even while you were in the womb of your mother, the mind was accumulating. And through hypnosis, the memories can be awakened of your days in the womb of your mother. While you were taking birth, you don't remember anything, but the mind was accumulating. Whatever was happening, the mind was accumulating. And now it can be awakened again. Through hypnosis, the memory can be brought again to your focus. And millions of memories are being accumulated. This accumulation is the mind. Memory is the mind. How the I, the ego, is created. The consciousness is within you, and around the consciousness all these memories are accumulated on the periphery. They are useful. And you cannot survive without them. They are needed. But then a new thing between these two happens, an epiphenomenon. Consciousness is within, you are within. Without the I, there is no I within. You are without a center. On the periphery, every moment knowledge, experience, memories accumulate. This is the mind. And whenever you look at the world, you look through the mind. Whenever you pass through a new experience, you look through the memory. You interpret it through the memory. You look at everything through the past. The past becomes a mediator. Constantly looking through the past, you get identified with. That identification is the ego. Let me put it in this way. The identification of the conscious with the memory is the ego. You say, I am a Hindu, or I am a Christian, or I am a Jain. What you are doing? No one is born as a Christian or a Hindu or a Jain. You are simply born as a human being. Then you are taught. Then you are conditioned that you are a Christian, a Hindu, or a Jain. This is a memory. You have been taught that you are a Christian. This is a memory. And now, through this memory, you feel, I am a Christian. Your consciousness is not Krishna. It cannot be. It is simply consciousness. You have been taught that you are a Christian. This teaching is accumulated on the periphery. Now you look through the glasses and the whole world is colored. And those glasses stick too much and too deep with you, and you are never away from them. You never put them aside. You have been so accustomed with them that you have forgotten that on your eyes there are spectacles. Then you say, I am a Christian. Whenever you get identified with any memory, any knowledge, any experience, any name and form, the I is gone. Then you are young, you are old, then you are rich, you are poor, you are beautiful or you are not beautiful, you are educated or you are not educated, you are respected or you are not respected. Then you go on getting identified with things which accumulate around you, and the ego is born. Ego is identification with the mind. That's why when you are silent, the ego is not. Because when you are silent, the mind is not functioning. That's what silence means. Whenever the mind is functioning, you are not silent. You cannot be. The functioning of the mind is the inner noise, the chattering, constant chattering within you. When the chattering is stopped, or it is not there, or you have gone beyond it, or you have gone within, move within, there is silence, and in that silence there is no ego. But this happens only for a moment, sometimes, when you are silent. That's why situations in which this happens, you feel those situations are lovely. You start desiring those situations. You have gone to a hill, and while the sun is rising in the morning, you look at it. Suddenly, you have an upsurge of joy. You feel blissful. A beatitude descends upon you. What has happened really? Because of the silent morning and the silent rising of the sun, and the greenery, and the hill. Suddenly, your inner chattering has stopped. The phenomena is so great. All around you is such beauty, such peace and tranquility, that you have stopped for a moment. In that stopping, you have realized a non-ego state. For a single moment, of course. This can happen through many situations. In sex it happens. In music it can happen. In anything which is so great that you are overwhelmed, overpowered, and your constant chattering is put aside, forced, the moment it will come again. But whenever you are egoless, accidentally, or through some practice, you feel a subtle bliss which you have not felt. The bliss is not coming from outside. It is not coming from the hills or from the rising sun or from beautiful flowers. It is not coming from sex act. It is not coming from outside. The outside is only creating an opportunity. It is coming from inside. So if you repeat the outer situation again and again, it will not come. Because you will get immune to it. You will get accustomed. The same hill and the same morning, again, you go there and you don't feel. You feel something is missing. Because for the first time, it was so new, it stopped your mind completely. The wonder was so great, and the miracle was so new, you couldn't continue with the past chattering. It stopped. Just in awe, it stopped. But next time you go there, you know everything. There is no awe, no mystery. The mind continues. This happens with every experience. In any experience, if you feel a joy, if you repeat it, it will be destroyed. Because then, in a repeated experience, you cannot put aside the mind. So second thing to remember, that mind is accumulation. Your consciousness is just hidden behind this accumulated power, and you are identified with it. Whenever you say, I am this, I am that, you are creating the ego. Thirdly, if you can understand this, then the third point is not difficult. And that third point is that mind has to be used. There is no need to get identified. You can use it as an instrument. And it is an instrument. There is no need to get identified with it. Remain always above it. And really you are always above it. Because you are here, now, always present. And mind is always past. You are always ahead of it. It is just lagging behind you. It is a shadow. This very moment is a new thing. Your mind cannot have it. A moment later, it will be absorbed in the memory. Then the mind can have it. Every single moment you are free. That's why Buddha has so much emphasized the moment. He says, remain in the moment, and there will be no mind. It is very atomic. It is very subtle. You can miss it easily. The mind is always the path, whatsoever you have known. And the reality that is passing just now is not part of the mind. It will become part of the mind a moment later. If you can be aware of the reality here and now, you will remain always transcendental to the mind. And if you can remain transcendental to the mind, always above, never entangled in it, using it but never getting involved in it, using it as an instrument, never getting identified with it, the ego will disappear. You will be egoless. And when you are egoless, nothing else is to be done. Then all else happens to you. You have become vulnerable. You have become open. Then the whole existence happens to you. Then all the ecstasies are yours. Then suffering is impossible. Suffering comes through the ego. Bliss comes through the egoless gate. Now we will enter the technique, because these techniques are concerned with being egoless. Very simple technique. But if you understand this background, then, you can do them, and much becomes possible through them. The first technique: focus on fire rising through your form from the toes up until the body burns to ashes, but not you. Focus on fire rising through your form from the toes up until the body burns to ashes, but not you. A very simple technique and very wonderful, very easy to do, but some basic requirements are to be fulfilled before. Buddha liked this technique very much. He initiated his disciples into this technique. The first thing, whenever someone was initiated by Buddha, was this. He will tell him, just to go to the burning place and observe a body being burned, a dead body being burned. For 3 months, not to do anything, just to sit there and watch. So the seeker will go to the burning place of the village. He will sit there for 3 months, day and night. And whenever a dead body will come there, he will just sit and meditate. He will just look at the dead body. Then the fire will be created, and then the body will start burning. And for 3 months continuously, he will not do anything else, just looking at dead bodies being burned. Buddha said, don't think about it, just look at it. And it is difficult not to come upon to the thought that sooner or later your body is going to be burned. And sooner or later, 3 months is a long time. And continuously, day and night, whenever there is a body to be burned, the seeker is to meditate. Sooner or later, he will start seeing his own body on the burning fire. He will start seeing himself being burned. It will be helpful if you want to do this technique. Go to the burning place. Watch, not for 3 months, but at least watch one body being burned. Observe it. Then you can do this technique easily with yourself. Don't think, simply watch the phenomena, what is happening. People go to burn their relative's body, but they never watch. They start talking of other things, are about death. They argue and discuss. They do many things, they talk many things and gossip, but they never watch. It should be made a meditation. No talking should be allowed there, because it is a rare experience to see someone you love being burned. You are bound to feel that you are also burning there. You are seeing your mother being burned, or your father, or your wife, or your husband. You are bound to see yourself also there in the flame. That experience will help for this technique. One. Second thing, if you are very much afraid of death, you cannot do this technique. Because the very fear will protect you. You cannot enter into it. Or you can just imagine on the surface, but your deep being will not be in it. Then nothing will happen to you. So remember, second thing, that whether you are afraid or not, death is the only certainty. It makes no difference whether you are afraid or not. It is irrelevant. In life, nothing is certain except death. Everything is uncertain. Only death is a certainty. All else is accidental. It can happen, it may not happen. Only death is not accident. And look at the human mind. We always talk about death as if it is accident. Whenever someone dies, we say, he has died untimely. Whenever someone dies, we start talking as if it has been an accident. Only death is not the accident. Only death. Everything is accidental. Death is absolutely certain. You have to die. And when I say you have to die, it seems in the future, very far away. It is not so. You have already died. The moment you were born, you have died. With birth, death has become a fixed phenomenon. The one part of it has already happened, the birth. Only now the second, latter part has to happen. So you are already dead, half dead. Because once one is born, he has come into the realm of death, entered into it. Now nothing can change it. Now there is no way to change it. You have entered into it. Half you are dead with birth. Secondly, death is not going to happen in the end. It is already happening. It is a process. Just as life is a process, death is a process. We create the dualism, but life and death are just like your two feet, your two legs. Life and death are both one process. You are dying every moment. Let me put it in this way. Whenever you inhale, it is life, and whenever you exhale, it is death. The first thing a child is to do is inhale. A child cannot exhale. The first thing he cannot exhale, because there is no air within his chest. He has to inhale. The first act is inhalation. And the old man, while dying, will do the last act, will be exhalation. Dying, you cannot inhale, or can you? When you are dying, you cannot inhale. The last act cannot be inhalation. The last act will be exhalation. The first act is inhalation and the last is exhalation. Inhalation is birth and exhalation is death. But every moment you are doing both. Inhaling, exhaling. Inhalation is life, exhalation is death. You may not know it, but try to observe it. Whenever you exhale, you are more at peace. Exhale deeply and you will feel a certain peace with it. Whenever you inhale, you become intense, you become tense. The very intensity of inhalation creates a tension. And the normal, ordinary emphasis is always on inhalation. If I tell you to take deep breath, you will always start with inhalation. Really, we are afraid of exhaling. That's why breathing has become shallow. You never exhale. You go on inhaling. Only the body goes on exhaling, because body cannot exist with inhalation alone. It needs both life and death. Try one experiment. The whole day, whenever you remember, exhale deeply and don't inhale. Allow the body to inhale. You simply exhale deeply and you will feel a deep peace, because death is peace. Death is silence. And if you can pay attention, more attention to exhalation, you will feel egoless. With inhalation, you will feel more egoistic. With exhalation, you will feel more egoless. Pay more attention to exhalation. The whole day, whenever you remember, exhale deeply and don't inhale. Allow the body to inhale. You don't do anything. This emphasis on exhalation will help you very much to do this experiment, because you will be ready to die. A readiness is needed, otherwise the technique will not be of much help. And you can be ready only if you have tasted death in a certain way. Exhale deeply and you will have a taste of it. It is beautiful. Death is just beautiful. Because nothing is like death. So silent, so relaxing, so calm, so unperturbed. But we are afraid of death. And why we are afraid of death? Why so much fear of death is there? We are afraid of death not because of death, because we don't know it. How you can be afraid of him you have never encountered? How you can be afraid of something that you don't know? At least you must know to be afraid of it. So really you are not afraid of death. The fear is something else. You have never really lived. That creates the fear of death. The fear comes because you are not living. So you are afraid that I have not lived yet. And if that happens, then what? Unfulfilled, unlived, I will die. The fear of death comes only to those who are not really alive. If you are alive, you will welcome death. Then there is no fear. You have known life. Now you would like to know death. But we are so afraid of life itself that we have not known it. We have not entered deep into it. That creates the fear of death. If you want to enter in this technique, you must be aware of this deep fear. And this deep fear must be thrown away, pushed. Only then you can enter the technique. This will help. Pay more attention to exhalation. And really, if you can pay all attention to exhalation and forget inhaling, don't be afraid that you will die. You will not die. The body will take inhalation by itself. The body has its own wisdom. If you deeply exhale, the body will take a deep inhalation by itself. You need not interfere. And a very deep relaxation will spread all over your consciousness. The whole day you will feel relaxed. And the inner silence will be created. You can deepen this feeling more if you do another experiment. Just for 15 minutes in the day. Exhale deeply. In a chair or on the ground, exhale deeply, and while exhaling, close the eyes. When the air goes out, you go in. and then allow the body to inhale, and when the air goes in, open the eyes, you go out. Just the opposite. When the air goes out, you go in. When the air goes in, you go out. When you exhale, space is created within. Because breath is life. When you exhale deeply, you are vacant. Life has gone out. In a way, you are dead. For a moment, you are dead. In that silence of death, enter within. Air is moving out, you close your eyes and move within. The space is there and you can move easily. Remember, when you are inhaling, to move inwards is very difficult because there is no space to move. While exhaling, you can move within. And when the air goes in, you go out, open the eyes and move out. Create a rhythm between these two. Within 15 minutes, you will feel so deeply relaxed. And you will be ready to do this technique. Before doing this technique, do this for 15 minutes. So that you are ready. Not only ready, but welcoming. Receptive. The fear of death is not there. Because now death appears like relaxation. Death appears a deep rest. Death appears not antagonistic to life, but the very source of it. The very energy of it. Life is just like ripples on the face of a lake. And death is the lake itself. When ripples are not there, the lake is there. And the lake can exist without the ripples. But the ripples cannot exist without the lake. Life cannot exist without death. Death can exist without life. Because it is the soul. Then you can do this technique. Focus on fire rising through your form from the toes up. Just lie down. First conceive yourself as you are dead. The body is just like a car. Lie down and then bring your attention to the toes. With closed eyes, move inwards. Bring your attention to the toes and feel that the fire is rising from there upwards. Everything is being burnt. As the fire rises, your body is disappearing. Start from the toes and move upwards. Why start from the toes?